If you missed it on the show yesterday, Raven made a comment, and we all kind of just laughed and went along with it, but afterwards we realized nobody knew what he was talking about. If you missed it, here it is. What would Alicia say if you were driving super fast?
No, she's like 90 anyway. She drives fast when it suits her, but when she's in the car with me, she complains the entire time. It's like On Golden Pond or something. It's ridiculous.
What is On Golden Pond? Let's go around the room. Producer John, what is On Golden Pond?
On Golden Pond is a movie about a sunset that makes the pond look golden.
Okay. Producer Sean, what is On Golden Pond?
Don't.
You know, John looks so unsure about that. On Golden Pond, I'm going to guess it's about a boy who makes a wish on a pond, and it's a golden pond, and it's a wish it gets granted.
My turn.
Go ahead.
I have no idea. I had no clue. But
because, that's an option?
Yeah. So
can we redo it?
In improv, you just agree and you keep nodding and you keep going. So whenever Raven makes a comment like this and I don't know what he's talking about, I just laugh and I smile and I nod and I move on with my life, which is exactly what I did in this particular break. Raven, what is On Golden Pond?
All right. So not a fantastic reference, because On Golden Pond takes place largely around a pond. It was a book, I believe, and it was a hugely popular movie that won awards many years ago. We're talking like 2-3 decades, all right? But what I remember specifically about the movie, and I never really even watched it all the way through, is that the people on the boat were really, 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 really old. They were really old. And when they would move around, they moved relatively slowly. And that's what I remember about it. So it was my old reference, basically.
Henry Fonda, Katherine Hepburn, Jane Fonda.
Yeah, they were old in this thing, man.
1981.
Yeah, the parents were very old in this. Very old. There was liver spots. Shaky.
Sean and I didn't exist yet.
Yeah, Raven. Right. So the reference was not great.
I was 1 year old. I just turned one and that movie came out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the reference was not great. Probably should have done something a little bit more modern. Yeah. 80 for Brady or something. Would have made some more sense, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about it, it's like movies like this that are like classics that are about, like, that was a movie that is about elderly people.
Right.
Right. And, like, they don't make a lot of movies that are about elderly people anymore, except for the 80 for Brady, that new movie.
Well, there was Cocoon. Same thing, though, in the 80s, real long time ago. Right. Not sure John was alive for that either.
Right.
Space Cowboys. Which is very believable. Everybody over 80 is going to space. Not very believable.
I don't know that movie either. Do you guys know that
movie? I've never heard of that. You know what? You know what I always wanted to see? I always wanted to see that one with Robert De Niro, Bad Grandpa, where he like hooks up with Aubrey Plaza a couple of years ago.
Type of movie.
Very different, but still written about an older gentleman.
All right.
I'm not sure he's a gentleman in that movie.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think I can name one. What's the one? Isn't there a bucket list one on Morgan Freeman? What's that one?
Sure, and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Bucket List.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
Nice.
Or Grumpy Old Men. Isn't that about Grumpy Old Men?
Just going to say that one.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
I mean, that's a layup. It's literally right there in the title.
Right. Is there such a thing as a perfect boyfriend? That's what we're trying to figure out here. Producer Sean, when you were discussing how you took care of your girlfriend over the weekend because she was feeling unwell versus how I took care of my husband over the weekend because he was feeling unwell, it was two vastly different things.
Let's start with Sean. What are the things that Sean did?
Sean, what did you do?
So, I mean, of course, Rachel was sick, so I've done everything, of course, like cleaning the house, doing the laundry, making her breakfast in bed, letting her lay on me and pass out early and drool on me, and I just, instead of moving her, let her do her thing. Getting her medicine, you know, taking care of her,
okay,
rubbing
hold on,
her back
time out.
She wanted it.
It's really nice. You know what? Let's stop just for a minute, right? You know, when somebody just commiserates with you when you're sick, just lays with you, puts themselves at risk to also be sick. I mean, this has been in the middle of a couple pandemic movies or whatever. Like, it's a big thing, you know?
So she told you that she was sick, not feeling well, and you cleaned the house.
Yes.
I, on the other hand, told Paul not to leave our bedroom and took the girls to Target.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could have fun.
I just wanted to get as far away from him as possible and go somewhere joyous.
Did you go to get him soup or anything like that while you were in Target?
Okay. So hold on. What did you make for Rachel when she wasn't feeling well?
So I made her chicken noodle soup.
Okay.
For a dinner.
I left a bottle of Powerade outside the door.
Good.
Yeah, because I thought that was it. And then later on, when he texted me that he was hungry and wanted to come downstairs, and I told him not to leave the room, I left a sleeve of saltines. Now, they were not expired. Now, I don't know if I get bonus points for that, but they had been in there a long time. And I checked first. It wasn't going to stop me from not giving them to him if they were expired.
Yeah.
But good news. They were still good for another, like, 3 weeks or something.
I mean, just the fact that he got into the bed, laid with her again, you know, it could have been in the end for her, right? But he was there to support her right to the very end.
It was the end for him. He put himself at risk to get sick.
That's called love.
Slept in a different room so I wouldn't have to have his gross germs anywhere near my body.
What did you eat, by the way, while Paul was sick and he was, you know, left to fend for himself on a sleeve of saltines or whatever? What did you actually eat that day throughout the day?
Oh, I went to a delicious restaurant.
Oh, nice.
A pub, and I had a delicious burger. Yes.
So not only did you, you had a burger.
Yes.
You probably had some sort of beverage with it.
Well, I wasn't drinking. It was, I had a Diet Coke. But it was a great Diet Coke. It was fantastic. I'm not complaining about it.
Compared to Paul's Powerade.
I mean, he wanted a Powerade.
With no ice.
And then he
left him the bottle outside his room.
You know what he said to me?
With a sleeve of saltines.
He said, it's the blue Powerade. I don't like the blue Powerade.
Neither do I.
I was like, who cares?
Grown men don't like the blue Powerade.
It doesn't matter. It's Powerade, and that's what you requested. And if you wanted the red one, it wouldn't have mattered anyway because it was the only one we had in the fridge. So
terrible.
It was a lose-lose for Paul.
So do you feel that you've excelled as a boyfriend this past weekend?
You know what? I would like to believe I did. I mean, also, you have to keep in mind, she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was, you know, my civic duty to take care of her, especially being that she's pregnant. Like, I would have taken care of her if she was sick either way. But with the pregnancy there, I feel like that's a whole nother, like, you need to go above and beyond for your significant other.
Paul's
going
not
that.
Pregnant. Paul is not pregnant.
Well, he's got that only one thing going for him.
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's kind of like group therapy. You just observe people doing things. Sometimes it drives you crazy, and you think to yourself, that is all I need to know about you, even if you don't know anything else about them. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Jaden.
If you have to be told, don't shoot down the Chinese spy balloon, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, I heard about that. You know, that's the thing, though. If you get into some of them neighborhoods, right, you feel like it's a little bit rural. You maybe do a little bit of squirrel hunting on your yard or whatever you feel like. I'll take it down.
It's Myrtle Beach. You know what there is? There's t-shirt shops. There's a lot of funnel cake, mini golf courses. A lot of amusement parks. Somebody's shooting up in the sky. A
couple motorcycle clubs. You know, I mean, right. You know, just be careful.
We got it. They took care of it. The government got it.
We got it.
Yeah.
Jade, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you dumpster dive outside of grocery stores to get their old food, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, I saw this. The you're talking about the thing where they lost the power, they had to put all the food outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, I don't know. Some of those boxes look pretty good.
Hold on, what happened? What happened?
So the power went out. I forget where it was. I think it was in Texas, but, you know, and the power went out there for whatever reason. And they had to put all the food outside, all the food, anything that's frozen or refrigerated or whatever. And I think some other food, too, like some fresh stuff. They had to put it all outside. Well, I mean, you see like six rollout dumpsters full of food that looks brand new. It's all unopened. People started rolling up, grabbing, you know, tons of food and throwing it in their cars, carriages. You know, people are coming out from the grocery store. Don't take it. Don't take it. It's not actually free. You know, it's probably spoiled or whatever. The cops had to come and turn it into a big thing.
Okay, that makes more sense to me than, like, some poor individual that's having a very difficult time that's just going in to get some food for their family.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, it got a little bit nuts. I think there was a couple brawls.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
It got wild.
Well,
it got wild, man.
We put out a free cart of heads of lettuce. You know, things get wild.
You can't find lettuce that looks good right now, right? It's crazy.
I mean, that must be a you problem. Brady, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, so if you use baby talk with your wife in public, that is all I need to know about you. Like, I saw this guy, he was like, hey, sweetheart, mommy. And I was just like, no.
That's weird.
I do it sometimes to my husband by accident.
Oh, by accident?
Well,
or are you mocking
You know what him? I do is I call him daddy because of the kids.
Yeah.
Like, so the kids are, I'm like, you know, when you're talking to your kids, you're like, oh,
go see daddy or get daddy. But it'll be like just the two of us at Walmart. And I'll be like, daddy. And then I'm like, people must look at us like freaks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Just calling him my daddy.
He loves it. I bet he loves it. Yep.
Yeah. Sydney, that's all I need to know about you.
So this is what I need to know about you would be actually guy that feeds the homeless right by my job.
Well, obviously, that's incredibly generous and nice of him.
Yeah, no, he gets every morning. It's like a line of like 100 people, and he feeds everybody.
Oh, man.
He's a really great guy.
That's fantastic.
That is great.
Yeah, that's making a difference, definitely. Wow. Thank you for sharing, Sydney. That's great.
It's so strange how some fears just take a grip of you and don't let go and they just kind of control your life in a lot of ways.
Well, a lot of times something like that, though, it's going to be triggered by some sort of incident that's taken place. And it's not necessarily the case in this point.
No. So I'm looking to buy a new home and we found one that we really like. Now we're like in a bidding war. So who knows if it'll actually go through or not. You know, welcome to 2023. But
sure.
One of the issues I have with the house has nothing to do with the house. The house itself is perfect. Everything about it is really what we've been looking for and what we want. The issue I have is the location, because where it is, it's got windy roads leading to it.
I mean, it's a little bit woodsy, neighborhoody, like, right?
Yeah,
like, I mean,
and I've been a city girl pretty much my entire life. So
yeah.
I always kind of lived where, like, to get to the highway from my house, it takes about 45 seconds. Like,
right.
That's it. Like, there, it's as easy as it comes. So I have this, I don't know if it's an unnatural fear or if it's just a regular fear of, like, the fact to have to drive at night on these windy, dark roads scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, but that's the thing about these nice neighborhoods. The reason they stay nice neighborhoods is because there's not a freeway that goes right through the backyard.
I know, but I've gotten to the point
where
I don't even hear the cars anymore.
No, I get it, and I'm not judging one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that this is one of the things that you can expect about one of these, you know, kind of woodsy neighborhoods.
But I keep saying to my husband, I go, but what happens, like, when I have to drive and maybe it's raining or maybe it's bad weather or whatever, and it's these windy roads and I'm scared and it's dark. And I think people have genuine driving fears, because I have that fear. One is like windy, dark roads for some reason terrify me. But also being on a busy road with the motorcycles. Like, I don't like motorcycles at all. I don't like not them in. Like, I don't like driving next to them.
Yeah.
Because I'm always afraid they're going to dart in front of me. I'm so afraid that I'm going to accidentally tap a wheel and something terrible is going to happen.
Do you have any sort of reason to believe that these Harley-Davidsons will be out in the woods with you on these windy roads when it's dark and there's a storm going on?
Raven, these are two separate driving fears.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you're throwing them all at me at once. It just seems like you're kind of overwhelming yourself for no reason. I mean, you just turn your high beams on and you get out 10 miles per hour slower, and I think you're going to survive it.
You don't have any driving fears?
I mean, I don't have a lot. Listen, I had a motorcycle license, okay? So I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like when you walk up to the edge of a building and you look over the edge and you're like, oh my God, it would be so easy to fall here or whatever. There's that voice in your head that goes, what if I just slipped? Or what if I just jumped or whatever? It's the same thing when you're riding next to a motorcyclist or you're right behind them. And what? That's why they tell you to give them extra distance, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a different type of vehicle. You're not used to being there. So when you're on a motorcycle, it's kind of the same thing as, like, you know, the first time you get on a highway or whatever, and somebody blows by you, the wind is quite a force. It shakes you up a little bit. You know, I had a license for a long time. Nothing really scares me. I do the same speed, honestly, in the rain. It drives my wife crazy, but I mean, I'm just used to it. I mean, if it's snowing, I go a little bit slower, but in the rain, forget it. I drive an SUV. Like, what? A vehicle built for all sorts of terrains.
I think in general, people have driving fears. I think that there's just some fears out there that when it comes to driving, you don't know what it is, but it bothers you. Am I the only one? We're talking about your fears when you're driving. I'm bidding on a house right now, and everything about the house is perfect. I'm in a bidding war. Who knows if I'll even get it? But, like, one of the things that terrifies me is the fact that it's located on a really windy road. And I'm always afraid to drive on those really windy, steep roads. And I'm like, every day I'm going to have to go, like, in and out of this road. You know?
Windy, steep roads. You make it sound like you're crossing the Rockies. It's a regular, you know, not city street. That's all.
I know. I'm so used to, like, living in a city. But some people have unnatural driving fears. And I'm looking at this text at 1-800-330-9999, our text line. I'm genuinely scared of female drivers that are scared of driving.
Listen, I mean, does it have to be a sexist thing? I mean, anybody that's fearful of driving, somebody that's fearful of doing something, or an inexperienced driver or a student driver, I would say it's all the same. It doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Somebody that's inexperienced that you're driving around, or somebody that's terrified to be doing something, yeah, you wouldn't want that.
Another person wrote that they're afraid of elderly drivers. Okay, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, you remember my grandmother Marty, she drove like until she was like 92 or 94.
Doesn't mean she should have.
Right. She used to always say that older people should be retested. But you know what it was? She just loved tests because she felt like she was so good at tests. The side, she had a blue Cavalier and both sides of it were streaked white because she ran into the sides of her garage all the time.
1-800-330-9999. Miss Marty. Stacy, what's your unnatural driving fear?
I do. It scares me when I sneeze, when I have to sneeze and drive.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you have to sneeze and drive.
I've never even thought of that.
Split second.
Your eyes closed.
Yeah, but I mean, do you ever look at your phone or anything? Because that takes more time.
That does take more time, but there's a fear that when I'm sneezing, I'm going to lose control of my car.
Well, I fear when you're reading your text. That's what I fear.
I have to tell you something, and you can't say I'm disgusting, but one time I regurgitated while I was driving, and I thought that I was going to throw up, and it was terrifying because I didn't know where I was going to throw up. I was like, do I just pull over? Do I just go into my lap?
Right on the lap.
Oh, God.
Right on the lap. For the good of all of the rest of our safety, you got to go right in your lap.
Yeah. No, but I get the sneezing thing because your eyes are closed. You're right.
For literally a millisecond.
Yeah, but still, it's a fear.
Yeah.
I want you to
add up the time that you look at your phone today on the way in.
What does it have to do with the phone?
Shelby, what's your driving fear?
Hitting a deer. Just any sort of wild animal just jumping in, that is my fear.
I hit a deer. It almost destroyed my car.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It came out of nowhere. The thing just exploded. It was awful. It was so awful, and I was so scared. And, like, I couldn't even drive my car. I had to call a state trooper to come escort me off the highway, and then I had to wait for one of our producers to come pick me up. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was a mess. And your vehicle was never really the same after that.
No.
They put it back together, but it was never really the same.
Yeah, I had like it was a Jeep. It was like a brand new Jeep, 2 months old. The thing was like a powerhouse, and it took it out, and it was never okay after that. And like, because it was so new, it was the only reason why it wasn't totaled.
Right.
It's a valid fear.
Yeah, because they come right up on it. I mean, forget it. Like a moose, too. Forget. I mean, that thing's like hitting another vehicle. It's like hitting a dump truck.
I have a fear of windy, steep roads, and I'm bidding on a house that to get to, you have to go on a windy, steep road, and it's terrifying me.
How steep could it be? How steep could it honestly be, this road that you speak
of? It's not, okay, it's scary enough for me. That's
right.
What matters.
I mean, when you press the gas and you're driving down the road, the vehicle goes over the hill, right? It's not like a thing where you got to put it in four-wheel drive or
Raven,
anything.
You're sounding very condescending because it's not your fear. It's not your fear. It's mine. I think people have driving fears. I'm looking at our Facebook page. Catherine wrote, seeing someone going the wrong way, the directions towards you in your lane on the highway. It happened to me. The person flew right by me.
I mean, that's a genuine fear. You're talking about driving, you know, in the woods. As that does not relate to that same thing.
But now I'm afraid of people on the wrong way on the highway coming at me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if we should have done it today. What is your driving fear, the fear that you have every time you take the wheel? 1-800-330-9999. Casey, do you have a fear when you're driving?
No, I don't have a fear when I'm driving, but I do. I'm a defensive driver, if that makes sense. So it's always about being on the defense, not on the offense, that keeps you safe, especially in Miami.
Right. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, I consider myself a defensive driver. I'm an aggressive driver, but I'm not the tailgater. I'm not the person that's going to put you in peril or anything like that. I drive with a good amount of courtesy, but I'm always prepared for you to do something stupid right in front of me.
Do you think the person who is the aggressive driver knows they're aggressive driver? Or do you think that they think that they're a better driver than everybody else?
Well, I think everybody thinks they're a better driver than everybody else.
Yeah, 100%. The other thing for me is in Miami, people don't know how to merge.
Yes.
So we have a problem, you know, and then merging is all about, you know, nobody listens to signal lights.
Let me tell you, dear, that is a nationwide problem. I have lived on both coasts, south, north, everywhere. That is a problem. problem. Nobody knows how to merge. We all know how to do it. Nobody wants to do it.
Right.
Nobody wants to do it.
I saw a bumper sticker the other day that says, please let me in or I'll cry.
Oh, that's good. Right. Appeal to them on weakness.
You guys are great.
Colin, what's your driving fear?
It's a weird one, but it's driving through tunnels has always gotten me. I'm very claustrophobic. You know, signal goes down, the radio doesn't quite work. I don't know. Things get crazy in my head.
I don't think that that's that out of the norm. I think a lot of people probably have fears of driving in tunnels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you go through like a really long one, too. I mean, there's a couple long ones here in the States, right? There's one in like Delaware. There's one in Colorado or something, right? I mean, you go through those. They're long. They're miles long. You know, you're under there for a long time. Psychologically, it can get in your head, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hand in hand with that is people that are afraid of driving over bridges.
Yeah.
I used to date a guy many years ago that was afraid of bridges. Remember, he used to take off his shoes. That was like a thing that he did when he was a kid. He would take off his shoes because if he went off the bridge, he wanted to be able to swim when he hit the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Gracie, what's your driving fear?
My driving fear is driving at night. I used to have no issue with it at all. And then lately, I feel like when I'm driving at night, I see things that aren't there. And it's just kind of scary.
I think that things are other things. Like if there's like a stop sign, I'll think it's a person or something like that. I don't know why.
Is it something like a different reflect? Is it like reflecting some weird way for you? I mean, I get it. I don't drive as well at night as I used to either.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It'll happen like all of a sudden, like in my 30s, like all of a sudden it just became more difficult to see at night. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Gabrielle. It's a weird thing. It's sad. And it's something that's been like kind of in the back of my mind bothering me for the last couple weeks. And then after the Grammys on Sunday, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a real thing. And I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people feel the way I do.
Cried yourself to sleep the other night over it?
I didn't cry myself to sleep.
Got so asleep for the past few weeks, you haven't been able to sleep.
All right, let's just take a hot second and talk about Madonna. When I was a kid, I idolized Madonna. I am so embarrassed to say this out loud, but I used to like dream and pray that Madonna would be my mom. I was an 80s kid. Like, I was born in 1980. Like, Madonna was everything.
Yeah.
And now, in retrospect, like, I have the greatest mom in the whole entire world. How could I possibly?
Just your poor mother driving right now, your children to school, crying to herself.
Madonna?
Because you were like, Madonna?
But, you know, when you're a little kid, you, like, idolize people.
Sure.
And I idolized Madonna. And then as the years went by, I was like, oh, she's getting a little like, you know, that's her thing. She's a button pusher, all that.
Yeah, the first time she ripped the Pope in half or whatever, right? Like that was a thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? Was that her? She did that too.
So Sinead O'Connor.
I thought they both did it. But okay.
That's okay.
Right.
And then like when the tour came out, one of my girlfriends texted me, she's like, do you want to go? And I was like, not really, you know?
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is after Sunday, when everyone's talking about how her face looked so transformed, like, I don't want to judge the woman. Like, I don't know what happens in her house.
Sure.
But a lot of her Instagram posts and a lot of the things she's been doing lately, they don't align with me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it's gotten to the point where I'm embarrassed for her. And I think that when you idolize somebody for a long time and then all of a sudden you realize you're embarrassed to that person, it's a weird feeling.
Well, when somebody goes off the deep end, right? Like that's a thing. Like for me, it's always been those that come off so self-righteous, right? So the person that you think is great, you like really believe the image, like they're a good person, man or woman or whatever. You're like, they're a person that affects good. And then you hear like they did an assault. Or, you know, they've been embezzling or they treated their people terribly or something like that. That just drives me crazy.
All right. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, I think that we need to have a conversation, a serious conversation. Who is a celebrity that you once idolized, but now, for a lack of a nicer way to say it, you're embarrassed of them. Mm. You're embarrassed. John.
Well, like Raven was saying, it's the people who like act so holier than thou, and then all of a sudden it comes out. John Lennon, for example. All these like beautiful songs about, you know what? Too soon? It was 1980, Raven. Come on. All right. Like, all I'm saying is wrote all these songs about peace and love and everything. Like, beat his wife, neglected his first child. Not the guy who should be preaching peace.
Yeah, but he's dead, so it's different.
1980.
Anna gives dead people a pass, I guess.
They don't have
representation, I guess.
Pass.
I'm sure John Lennon's people are going to reach out to you today and be angry. So don't worry, Anna. He'll be protected. How about you, producer Sean?
Russell Crowe, man. That guy, to me, used to be one of the greatest actors in the world. And have you seen, like, Thor, Love and Thunder?
No. I can't say I saw that, no.
Abysmal performance. Like, he was terrible.
He brought it down?
It was so bad. And it doesn't look good. He's, like, less Russell Crowe and more Russell Slow now.
Oh, stop it now.
I'm sorry, man.
He can't be in gladiator shape for the rest of our lives.
Yes, he can. He's Maximus to me. He should always be Maximus.
You practiced that Russell Slow joke, don't lie.
I did. A little bit shallow.
Yeah. All right.
Raven, who was a celebrity that you once idolized and now you're embarrassed about?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, as a rock music fan, it's just any guy who can't deal with the fact that you're getting older. All right. So once they get on television, for whatever reason, people like Ozzy, Steven Tyler, whatever, if you see them now, they look like your grandmother. They don't look like men anymore because they've had all these facial peels and injections and whatnot. It's just ridiculous. It's embarrassing for all men.
Is there a celebrity that you once idolized and now, truthfully, for lack of a nicer way to say it, you're embarrassed of them?
You know, the Tom Brady. So I love Tom Brady. He's the greatest football player of all time. I'll never see anything like him again in my lifetime. But it's gotten a little bit weird lately. Did you see he put like a naked selfie the other day?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Like,
bro, you just got divorced like 10 seconds ago. You retired like 10 seconds before that. I get it. You still look great. I don't know how you're aging in reverse, but you've turned into some sort of guru, and now you're posting naked selfies. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
There's a lot of talk about this after Madonna at the Grammys. People are saying how she transformed her face. She doesn't look the same. And I used to idolize Madonna. Idolize her. And now, I don't even think I want to go to her concert, to be honest.
You'd be like, is that her on stage?
It could be a stand-in. I wouldn't even know.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Jamie, who's somebody you idolized and now you're kind of embarrassed of them?
Yeah, it would be Britney Spears.
You know,
it's a big one.
Yeah, Anna has a theory on this.
So my theory, and I haven't talked about it a lot on the air because it's so polarizing, but I think, like, you know, you want her to have her freedom. You want her to have all the things that make her happy. But when you really watch her Instagram stuff, like, there is something wrong. Yes. Like, there is something wrong with her.
I feel embarrassed. Like, I feel so sorry for her, but embarrassed at the same time. And it's not good.
We all want good things for her. Like, I think what we want is, like, you know, like when your dog goes to the farm and he goes to the sanctuary. Like, that's what we want for Brittany. We want her to be able to roam free in a field full of daisies.
Alive, though.
Right. But being kind of like a fenced in enclosure. That way she's safe, you know, and the rest of us are safe kind of from that.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, when she posts those ramblings and people are liking it and they're like, yes, queen. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, no.
Right.
We should probably evaluate what she's putting out there
to the
world.
Where are your parents?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Garrett, who's a celebrity that you once idolized, now you're embarrassed of?
Okay, I hate admitting this out loud, but Kanye West, because that guy is so talented and so amazing. Like, his music is still amazing, but the politics and all the rants, it's embarrassing to tell people I still listen to College Dropout sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's sad too, right? Like, I mean, because again, a lot of talent, you know, you think if he just had the right proper help, he would be okay, you know, if he was taking the right medicines or whatever. But clearly he's not, and clearly there's nobody around him that's going to be able to do that. And even if he does, you know, straighten some stuff out, he's said a lot of terrible, terrible, hateful things now.
I found my old MySpace page.
Yeah.
And I quote him in my bio.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We can cancel you just for that.
I mean, I had no idea. And the funny part is, like, that lives on the internet now because I don't know how to log on to my MySpace or, like, whatever. It, like, came up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, that's a Kanye West quote. I was like, I couldn't believe that existed in one point of my life.
What's distressing is that he continues to try and find ways to kind of put this out there. And that's just really disturbing. Like, I mean, you say something one or two times, you think to yourself, okay, he's a little off his rocker today.
And just when you think he's got back on track,
no,
he comes back and you're like, oh, wait a minute.
No.
Here we go again. Gabriella, who's a celebrity that you once idolized and now you're embarrassed of?
I used to love Tom Cruise so much, and then he started getting all crazy and, you know, with the Scientology stuff, and he's so full of himself, and I can't stand him anymore. I can't even watch his movies.
Tom Cruise is back. He's back, Anna Zapp.
I can never be on the Tom Cruise train. Like, after everything that happened with Katie Holmes and the Scientology and all that, like, I'm out. I'm out. I'm with you.
Hey, listen, it's true. It got a little bit freaky deaky for a while, all right? But now he's back. The Mission Impossible movies are great. Top Gun was fantastic.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. We'll start with a weird one. Leonardo DiCaprio. He's been trending like crazy for like 2 days now.
What's going on?
He's 48. You know, he's kind of known for being a playa and only dating models under the age of 25.
He's Frank Sinatra.
His new girlfriend is 19. 19 years old.
Wow.
And
Who is she?
Her name is Eden. What is her name?
Oh,
Eden
God. Is she somebody's daughter or something, too? This is the thing, man. When
Eden
you're out
Polanyi.
In Hollywood or whatever, like they end up being somebody's daughter. That, you know, there's somebody else that you're like, oh, gosh, these two people could run into each other and... That's uncomfortable.
I mean, I don't mind when there's a big age gap between a couple. But
sure.
The fact that she's 19 bothers me a little bit. She wasn't even alive when Titanic came out. Think about it that way. Mm. Titanic is 25 years old. That's it seems like too much. And Twitter wasn't happy about it, as you can imagine.
Maybe she's never seen it, right? So, can you imagine that? Some of those things? She'd be like, you're who? Right?
I'm just going to leave that out there. You can make whatever conclusions you want about Leonardo DiCaprio. But earlier we were talking about like what celebrities you're embarrassed by now that you once used to idolize.
And that's embarrassing to you?
I think that's you should be embarrassed yourself. I mean, that's like she could be your daughter.
Listen, he's
for real.
I mean, I think most people still regard him as a good looking guy and he's a charming guy. And
yes.
Obviously he's hugely successful.
Correct.
He could not be more successful.
Yeah.
So if you're swimming by him on the yacht in the south of France or whatever and he's like, come aboard. I mean, you know, things happen, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
It's not like you went to Hooters and picked her up.
I'm just going
to
keep my mouth shut for this. Also, what's been trending because it's been crazy on TikTok is death diving. All right. I didn't know what death diving was. It originated in Norway in the 70s. And they say the reason why the sport was created was for men to show off in front of women.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good call. That's where she met Leo.
But back in 2008, Norway made it like a real sport. So every year they have a competition and people have been doing it on TikTok and there's a lot of warnings about it. It's essentially belly flopping into water from really high heights, over 50 feet.
I mean, that can knock you out.
No, it's scary.
Yeah.
Like when you watch these videos, that's why there's warnings. But in Norway, it's a very serious sport.
We're going to teach you how to perform a proper death dive.
A proper death dive.
Thank you.
This is what it sounds like when they hit the water. He's yelling.
And it's just a bunch of other dudes standing around with beers in their hands going, oh, yeah.
Exactly
right. I mean, I've been to that party.
All right, but there's three ways to do a death dive. First way.
No.
So we get three different landings that we prefer. We get the shrimp, and that's when you go hands and feet first. It's the least heavy one on impact.
Okay, so there's the shrimp.
So it's like a cannonball, but you got your hands and feet out in front of you? Okay.
Exactly. Second?
Uh-huh.
And then you get the crusher. That's when you go elbows and knees. Try to land with them straight. That's when you make that big sound.
We used to call that the cannonball.
This high, you can start bleeding from your elbows and knees and... Yeah, that's the proper way.
Yeah, when you start bleeding, that's
that
the right
way.
You're
doing it right.
You're doing it right.
We used to call that the can opener, the second one he said.
And then there's the last one, which seems the most alarming to me.
No.
And we get the ultimate way. That's no-hander. The no-hander, it's when you just don't use your hands. That's when you just go head first, head and knees, and just crush the water with your head.
Crush the water with your head from over 50 feet in the air. Can you figure out why people are saying stop doing death dives on TikTok right now?
Yeah, I'm not going to sign up for any sport that has death in the title.
Nope.
Just a rule of thumb.
Looking for some hacks to make your table absolutely beautiful for Super Bowl? Shannon Doherty, she is a TikTok, I guess, just mega force. How many millions of followers do you have now?
Thank you. I think collectively I have close to 4 million.
Wow.
I know.
I know.
We've been on this journey for a while, Shannon. Look at you. Wow.
Yep.
I was going to say, I think you guys have been on this journey with me since I had maybe 200,000 followers.
If you want to follow Shannon, you can find her on TikTok at Home with Shannon or Instagram at Home with .Shannon. Super Bowl is coming up. Again, people coming over. What are some quick hacks, things that we can do to make our house shine when the guests are coming?
So, an easy decor hack, I like to get a big roll of green, like a green vinyl tablecloth. You can get a huge roll of it and just roll it across your dining room table. You can also do a little AstroTurf, which you can find at Home Depot, but I like the vinyl green tablecloth. Roll that down and then get some white masking tape and make the field lines and numbers on your table. It looks so cute. everyone loves it, and just a really easy way to set it up. And my family last year asked me, what about a goalpost? So I grabbed a bunch of yellow balloons and put them around the wall in our dining room right near the table in the shape of a goalpost.
I mean, that is festive. My friends come in, they see something like that. Enough fireball shots later on, one of them might get tackled on that table.
Oh, you know, no, you got to do the football thing. Like, remember when you were little, you would fold up the piece of paper in a football and you would flick it at each other, and right?
Yes.
My friends in whiskey, I don't know. That will only keep them busy for so long.
You know, we do have some fun games that I'm putting together this year for Super Bowl Sunday, too, because we like to have a ton of families over. So the kids are somewhere in the adults. So this year we're doing Super Bowl trivia and Super Bowl charades, where you put the questions on little popsicle sticks, and you have each team has their own jar of popsicle sticks with questions. Then we're doing like a commercial bingo, where you can guess commercials that are going to be on, and we're making that in advance, and a halftime show where we're playing the music. But there's tons of fun games you can do.
We played bingo before. I like that. And I like it at your home party, right? With a combination of other stuff. Keeps it fun, because not everybody loves every minute. And let's face it, not every football game, every moment is ultra exciting, right? So, you know, highlighting those other things is a good idea.
Other easy decor ideas. If you want to make cute football cups, I get mason jars or some clear glasses and some white tape again. And I just put little laces right on it with the white tape. Always get yellow napkins, because those can be your penalty flags. I put like little whistles around the mason jar with the napkins, and they look like little whistles and penalty flags. And then for popcorn, something that I love to do is I get brown paper bags, and again with the white tape, just put little football laces on them. Just super easy and really cute ideas. Oh, and another one that you guys have to do. Okay, I like to do a DIY Lombardi trophy, where I just went to the dollar store and got like a plastic cup and then a little football, like a dollar foam football, spray paint them gold or silver and glue them together, and you have like a really cute little trophy centerpiece.
All I keep thinking about is all the yellow napkins that are going to be thrown over my house when we're throwing flags on the play.
Right.
Flags on the play. Just for no reason, you know?
I love the idea, too.
So
the trophy. The guy whose team actually won gets to leave with it.
Yeah.
Shannon,
yes,
these are
like
definitely
that.
Picks for a winner for a party. Who do you think is going to win the big game?
I don't know. You know, my dad lives in Cincinnati. He's a Bengals fan. I am like a true Giants fan, but we're out. So
I had picked the Bills and the Giants in the Super Bowl. That didn't happen, so I don't care anymore. Yeah. All right, you want to follow Shannon for yourself on TikTok at home with Shannon or on Instagram at home with @Shannon. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Harry and Lucy. Lucy, what's going on?
I need help. One day, what was it, last week or so, I found a box under my boyfriend's bed. It had photos and cards of his ex-girlfriend. And I was a little bit surprised to find it. But I didn't want to overreact, so I confronted him about it. And he told me that he holds them just, I guess, like, in case he's, like, feeling sad or whatever. And he uses that to cope.
Okay.
And I just think it's wrong.
Okay. How long have you guys been dating?
About 2 years.
And why were you under his bed? You don't live together, right?
Well, I was cleaning his room.
Okay.
I was just tidying things up, and I found the box. And I was being nosy, and I wanted to see what was in it. And I found all these letters and pictures of him and his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Harry, tell us about this box. Why are you holding on to it?
I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, it was a good time in my life. I'm a very nostalgic guy. I miss my youth sometimes, you know, and so I go in there and I look and I remember the times fondly. You know, she said nice things about me. It didn't work out, but it's not like, you know, we hate each other. It was just a nice time in my life.
Let me understand here. So in this box, is it exclusively letters and cards from your ex, or is it, you know, there's other cards, you know, from your family, your friends, whatever, that's in there? Is this just a box of memories, or is this a box of memories with just you and your ex?
I mean, there's other little things, but it's mostly my ex.
Yeah, and I mean, you said from your youth. Is this your ex from when you were 16? This is your ex from 2 years ago, 4 years ago? What are we talking about?
It was like 5 years ago.
It's kind of a delicate thing, right? I mean, who are we to judge somebody else's personal effects and the effect that they have on them? I mean, I've got a box somewhere that's got all sorts of things in there, but it's not just cards from my ex. And usually when I stumble across one of those boxes, those would be the first things to go, right? It's the cards and the letters from family or whatever that you would hold on to, but you know, that's me.
Oh, I think it's an interesting conversation. Holding on to things from your ex that have sentimental value. It's one thing if it's pictures. Another thing is it's handwritten cards that you admit, Harry, that you like to look at them every once in a while, right? You said it. You're sentimental like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you over the ex? I mean, you've been with Lucy now 2 years.
I am. Okay. I am. I'm just a very, I don't know, selfish guy. I like to get my ego stroked, and she has some nice thing to say about me back in the day.
It's not what I would be doing, but on the one hand, you know, if something makes you feel good to look upon it or read it, and you're not acting on these things in any way, again, it's kind of difficult for me to tell you that it's wrong.
I don't talk to her or anything like that.
Same time, I understand why Lucy would be upset.
Of course. Let's see what the audience has to say, because maybe they agree with you, Lucy. It's uncomfortable and it's strange and it's time for it to go, or you need to reevaluate. Are you in the same place in this relationship that Lucy thinks you are? But they may see Harry's side too. What's the big deal? It's part of the past. You're not holding on to her. You're just holding on to good times and memories. And what's wrong with remembering times that you were happy in your life?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's a tough thing. Harry and Lucy have been dating for about 2 years, and she was cleaning his room. They don't live together. And she found under his bed a box, and there was old cards and pictures of his ex-girlfriend, who he's been broken up with for 5 years, he says. There's nothing wrong with it. There were nice sentimental cards. Mm. He's not doing anything inappropriate. He's just holding on. It was a good time of his life. It's not like he hates his ex-girlfriend, but he's moved on.
Let's be real here for a minute. I never had a girlfriend who I didn't live with who was vacuuming my room, who was taking care of my room, taking care of stuff, cleaning stuff up in my apartment when I wasn't there.
I don't know. I mean, if you're with somebody a long time, like 2 years, and you're not living together yet.
You go over and you clean their house? No, I don't think so.
Maybe?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But does it change the fact that she found it? And is it wrong or is it right? Or what do you think?
Well, I think that his reaction is the thing that's really telling, right? Where he's like, oh, you know, I'm selfish and I like to read these from time to time. They make me feel good. You know, she had a lot of great things to say about me. Then obviously, I mean, if you read between the lines, it's basically he's not getting enough of that from Lucy, or he feels like he's not getting enough of that from anybody else in the world. That's a little bit of alarming.
Yeah. I think some people are just sentimental like that. They like to hold on to things. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Lisa, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side because our past is what makes us who we are today. She shouldn't be threatened.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing to say. Everybody has a history, right? Anybody that assumes that we don't,
exactly,
you're setting yourself up for a letdown. That is true.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. What would you do if you were cleaning up your boyfriend's room, vacuuming under his bed, hit a box, opened the box, and found pictures of his ex-girlfriend and cards, too, sentimental cards that she had given him?
Let me give you a different scenario. What would you do if you were snooping around your boyfriend's apartment and you found a box of letters and photos of him and his ex-girlfriend? You'd pull out the vacuum and act like you were cleaning.
Tomato, tomato. Doesn't really matter, Raven. It's exactly what happened with Lucy. She was vacuuming, quote unquote. Who knows? She was vacuuming under Harry's bed and found this box. And he says, what's the big deal? Like, we've been dating 2 years. I'm committed to you. I haven't dated her in 5 years. It's just sentimental. It was a good time in my life. Like, why would I throw that away? We don't have a bad relationship.
Yeah, there's a few other cards in there from, you know, family and stuff like that. But he admits that mostly it is this ex. He said it just makes him feel good from time to time to read that stuff.
Is it wrong that he holds on to that? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hey, it's John. I'm on Lucy's side. Lucy, don't lie. You were creeping around his room, number one. Fine. You weren't cleaning. It's not your house. Number two, drop this dude. From a guy, there's something else going on. If he needs to, like you said, ego stroked by looking at pictures of his old ex-girlfriend and cards, something's up.
Thanks for that. I like it. John's like a human lie detector.
I like it. John, just calling it like it is. Just calling it like it is, John. Jennifer, whose side are you on?
I'm on Lucy's side because it was hidden. And that's a big red flag to me. It was already shared with her. then I would think, well, maybe they could get through it. But, you know, thoughts from the top can be very intrusive on a relationship.
I mean, listen, I tend to agree with you. Like, it's a flag to me. But I'm just wondering which day, Anna, do you pull out the box of mementos from your ex-girlfriends and go, I like to read these from time to time because they make me feel good.
It'd be weirder if he left it on his nightstand in plain visible sight all the time.
That also would be weird,
yeah.
Right? Hey, Terry, whose side are you on today?
Gotta go with the guy here, you know? She's probably not doing something he needs, and he's going back to reflect it, okay?
Okay, well, I guess that's true. On the other hand, we know what's going to happen is he's going to end up alone with that box.
Yeah. Have fun with your box by yourself. Enjoy those pictures.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lucy, our audience agreed with you today. You know, Harry, the fact that you're holding on to it and it's bothering her so much, it says a lot because you're holding on to a different time of your life. And if you want to move forward with Lucy, maybe it's time to let that chapter go.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize how much it bothered you, Lucy. I'm sorry. Yeah. I guess it's time to let go.
Yeah, I mean, just let me know. Like, if there's anything you need from me, talk to me. To keep referring to the past, to feel some type of joy, it just feels like we're wasting our time. If all you can do is live in the past.
Right. Well, we do wish you guys the best of luck. And if anybody else has a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,300 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Victoria, you ready to play?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Can you please leave the room, Raven?
Sure. Good luck, Victoria.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. That door's going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio.
Okay.
All right. Five questions. Pop culture. Get more right than he gets right. You win the money. Ties go to him.
Okay.
You ready to play?
Ready. All right. I'm ready.
Don't forget, 3 seconds for each one. So if you're not sure, just guess, okay?
Okay.
Number one, Reese Witherspoon teased that Jennifer Coolidge will be returning for Legally Blonde 3. What's the name of the maneuver Elle teaches Paulette in the nail salon to get the attention of the UPS man?
UPS man. Batter eyes?
Number two, HBO announced that The Last of Us Episode 5 will air this coming Friday instead of Sunday because of the big game. Which two NFL teams are playing on Sunday?
Eagles and Chiefs.
Number three, Will Smith dropped out of attending the Grammys and being part of the hip-hop salute because he's shooting Bad Boys 4. Who co-stars with Will Smith in the Bad Boys franchise as his detective partner?
Martin Lawrence.
And number four, tickets to watch LeBron James break the NBA scoring record are going for more than $69,000. What team does LeBron play for?
Lakers.
Number five, the original Yellowstone might be coming to an end because of Kevin Costner's scheduling conflicts. In what state does Yellowstone take place?
State. I'll just go with...
That's time.
Let me bring Chicago, okay.
All right, 3 out of 5. Not bad.
All right, not bad.
Okay, thank you.
Not incredible, though. $1,300. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Reese Witherspoon teased that Jennifer Coolidge will be returning for Legally Blonde 3. What's the name of the maneuver Elle teaches Paulette in the nail salon to get the attention of the UPS man?
Oh, you got to bend and snap.
The bend and snap.
Yeah.
That's right. Number two, HBO announced that The Last of Us Episode 5 will air this coming Friday instead of Sunday because of the big game.
Good idea. I like that idea.
Which two NFL teams are playing on Sunday?
Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Correct. Number three, Will Smith dropped out of attending the Grammys and being part of the hip-hop salute because he's shooting Bad Boys 4.
Mm.
Who co-stars with Will Smith in the Bad Boys franchise as his detective partner?
Martin Lawrence.
That's right. Number four, tickets to watch LeBron James break the NBA scoring record are going for more than $69,000. What team does LeBron play for?
Plays for the Lakers.
Correct. And number five, the original Yellowstone might be coming to an end because of Kevin Costner's scheduling conflicts.
This is the most terrible thing I ever heard.
There's a lot of conflicting reports on it,
so
we'll see.
I think what it is Paramount is getting greedy, I think. But okay.
In what state does Yellowstone take place?
The great state of Montana.
I'm sorry, Victoria. He beat you 5-3 today. That'll get you a Nana and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Victoria Menino, and I can't beat Raven. Thank you.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,400 tomorrow.